Wednesday was Margaret Thatcher Day in the Falkland Islands, commemorating the British Prime Minister's 1983 visit there. Yesterday, it was announced Germany's Angela Merkel will travel to the UK to meet with her counterparts, President Nicolas Sarkozy and Prime Minister Gordon Brown. And today in the United States, pundits are still debating whether America is even ready for a woman president. Among the banter, would a woman lead differently than a man? And for some perspective, we could look to India, where there's actually a body of evidence about that subject. A 1992 amendment mandated a place for women in some levels of government. So we're going to hear from Esther Duflo. She's co-director of the Jamil Poverty Action Lab and a professor of econ at MIT. She studied how women led and how citizens reacted to female leaders after a change in India. Esther, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about what precipitated this constitutional change in India and what exactly was the change?
So there was a long-standing interest in India about having women more represented in government, at all level of government. So what happened in 1993, they modified the constitution of India to give more power to the most local level of government, which is called the panchayat. So the panchayat is a group of villagers together who are administering local public goods, irrigation, school buildings, water, drinking water wells, etc. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they thought the time was ripe to do an experiment, a nationwide experiment, in giving more power to the woman.
So a certain number of seats on these local governments were set aside for women?
Exactly. So what happens is that each of these local governments is made of a council, and then there is a leader for each council. And what the Constitution Amendment said is that each council needed to have one-third of women at a minimum, and as well that one-third of each council needed to have a woman as a leader. So what happened is that they indicated that each state must select for each election one-third of the villages, and say you can only elect a woman as the head of the village council.
In terms of their study of these villages, which had these one-third of women involved in the local government and a third leaders, what did you discover was different about the way women led?
So what we did is that we went and took a survey of what these women have done. And we also took a survey of what women want as voter, what women voter wanted. And what we found is that a woman and men do very different things. They spend their resources very differently. And in particular, women leaders invest much more in drinking water infrastructure. And what we also found is that this is also exactly what the woman voter wants. Women voter wants more infrastructure for drinking water because they are the ones who collect the water. So in summary, what we found is that women leaders reflect the preferences and the needs of women more than men leaders do.
What did the men leaders invest their time and their villages' energy and funds into?
So that's a very good question. The one finding of the study which was a little bit controversial is that in one of the states, what they do, which women do less of, is investing in schools. Hmm. We found that men leaders were building more schools. So some people found this result unappealing because we have this intuitive idea that women really like education, etc. But we have to remember that there is only a fixed budget. So if you build more wells, you have less money for schools.
When women invested in water, the women leaders invested in the infrastructure,
yep.
And you said that the women in the constituency, that was their big concern as well. Is it that women leaders are reacting to things that have meaning in their life, and because they're in positions of power, they actually can do something about it?
Yes, so that would be my interpretation. That would be exactly my interpretation of what's going on, is that women and men both do, in a sense, what they feel should be done. And once people are elected, they don't only respond to the expressed needs of their constituency, they also respond to what they feel is important. Because after all, they're the ones who are doing the job day in, day out. And women are just much more attuned of these type of needs than men.
This constitutional amendment has been in place for about 14 years, if I'm doing my math right, 14, 15 years.
Right.
Has the way people reacted to female leaders, has that changed over the course of time?
Yes. We were interested in the perception of the citizens. Do they like their woman leaders, or do they dislike them? In particular, are they prejudiced against them? And we were interested in the second question, which is, when you're exposed to a female leader, does this change your opinion of the capability of women to govern? So what we did is that we tried to measure people's bias against women as leaders by doing the following simple experiment. We took a speech that was actually a real speech that one of these leaders had said one day, and we had female actors and male actors record those speeches on the tape. And then we went to see villagers and we had them listen to either version of the speech. And we asked them to give us their opinion of the leader. Do you think this person is a good leader? Do you think you would vote for them, etc.? And the first finding we have is that in places which have never had a woman leader, men in particular rate the male actors much higher than the female actors, even though the speech is exactly the same. They just feel that if it's a female actor, it must be a bad leader, so they give much lower rating. So the first finding, which is a little bit depressing. The second finding, however, which is much less depressing, is that in places where they have been exposed to a female as leader, exposure actually helps people overcome their bias.
So the United States shouldn't be frightened of possibly electing a female president? It's
no,
good to take the first step?
The lesson, if you can take a lesson from this finding to the extent it applies to the U.S., which of course might or might not be the case, is that exposure is actually helps people overcome whatever prejudices they have in these cases. And in the U.S., there is ample evidence that people are very biased against women as leaders in a variety of circumstances, as political leaders, as leaders of firms, etc. So if our findings have something to say to this debate, is that if you elect a female president, then possibly it will pave the road for future women to be elected in various positions of power, because people will sort of lose their instinctive distaste for having women as leaders.
Esther Duflo is co-director of the Jamil Poverty Action Lab and professor of econ at MIT. Thanks for sharing your study's findings.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Well, coming up here on The Big Show, The Bryant Park Project, we have some of the most popular stories in all of the interweb, selected by you, reported by us. You click, we report. It's the segment we call the most. This is The Bryant Park Project, back in about a second.